Look at real in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 26. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you have a psalm, have a doctrine, have a tongue, have a revelation, have an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. I want to talk to you tonight about the church. I want to talk to you tonight about something practical in the church, and that is our open meetings, what we call an open meeting. Out of four meetings or five meetings you have in a week, you have one on Sunday, I should say two meetings on Sunday morning, two meetings on Sunday night, and two meetings on Wednesday night. Is that correct? You have a teaching meeting, you have a preaching meeting, you have a Lord's Supper meeting, you have an open meeting on Sunday night, you have an open meeting on Wednesday night, and a prayer meeting. Am I correct in this? Amen. Is this true? So two out of six of your meetings are an open meeting. I'd like to show you from the scriptures your responsibility, my responsibility, our responsibility in the open meeting. First of all, it says, how is it, the brethren, when you come together, every one of you have a psalm, have a doctrine, have a tongue. Every one of you has something or should bring something to the open meeting. God has chosen to bless His church. God has chosen to use the church to edify one another. Look at it in the same book in chapter 12, before I get ahead of myself. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Do you realize what the church is? The church is not this building. I realize in the modern American language we'd say this is a church building. I grant that. But in the scriptures you will find the church is the body of Christ. And you and I are members in particular. You cannot join the church by being water baptized. You cannot join the church by taking a pledge. You cannot join the church by fulfilling certain requirements. You must be born again. You must be made a member by the Spirit of God. Many people have a problem, a misunderstanding of scriptures. When they see the word baptized or baptized, they think immediately, in whatever denomination they were brought up in, whatever religion they were born into, they immediately think of that conception. If they are Catholic, they're going to think about being a little baby going down to the church and have a priest sprinkle water in their head. If they are Lutheran, they're going to think about being about 8 or 9 years old, going to the church and having a priest with a little sign of the cross on his head with a cloth, a damp cloth, or sprinkle it in another manner. If they belong to another denomination, they might think about being baptized in a particular river or in a certain manner. They might be baptized forward 3 times, backward 3 times. Whatever their concept is, they have that concept. They have that prejudice when they begin reading the Word of God. And they see the word baptism and they immediately assume water baptism. But we notice here that this is not talking about water baptism. It is talking about the Spirit of God. Amen. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. One Spirit. By one Spirit. Not by water, but by the Spirit of God. Amen. And that's why it's so important for you to be born again.
Amen.
Jesus said in order to enter His kingdom, you must be born again. Hold your finger right there. Coming right back. Look in Galatians in chapter 3. How can you become a member of this church? Galatians in chapter 3 and verse 26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Now notice what it says here. By faith, you're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. It does not say that everybody is a child of God. Did you understand what I just said? This verse here, in verse 26, does not say that we are all children of God. How many people have been deceived by that? How many times have we heard it out of the mouths of preachers or priests or ministers or pastors that no, it's the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. We're all children of God. No, a million times no, we are not children of God. We are children of Adam. We are children of corruption, and that's why we are wicked. There's none good, no, not one. And that's why Jesus told a religious leader, a very religious man named Nicodemus, Nicodemus, you must be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Ye are the children of God by faith. How many would agree to that? I caught you with guile again. That's not what it says. Read it. Do not add to and do not subtract from the Scriptures. Read it again. What does it say? Quickly, somebody. By faith in Christ Jesus. You see, there's a lot of people out there think that, no, you're right. We have to become children of God, and it's through faith. It's through faith in Christ Jesus. It's not through faith in the virgin. It's not through faith in your religion. It's not through faith in yourself. It's not through faith in your baptism. It's through faith in Christ Jesus. And if your faith is placed in anything or any other person outside of Jesus Christ, and your faith is not placed in Him and Him alone, your faith is vain. Amen. You must place your faith in Christ Jesus and become a member of His church. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Somebody would say, well, there it says by baptism. No, by baptism into Christ. And we've already read the verse that we're put into Christ by that one Spirit. Notice what happens with this baptism. Where there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. Now, there's not a water baptism in all the world that can do that. We come in here as white men, as black men, as Mexican men, as Korean men. We come in here from different nationalities, different races. Physically, there are differences. But in the church of God, there is no difference. Amen. And that can only be brought about by a spiritual baptism. We come into this room tonight, some rich, some poor. We come into this night, some male, some female, some young, some old. We come into this church tonight, in this building tonight, we come in with many distinctions. Yet in Christ Jesus, we are one. Amen. We are one in the Spirit. I think we have that song in the hymn book somewhere. We are one. We are one. I want to ask you tonight, are you a member of the church then? How many here can tonight say, yes, I have been born again. God has saved my soul. I am a member of the church. Raise your hand. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.
He is worthy.
He is worthy. That's right. That's right. He is worthy.
Amen.
That's why we praise Him. Go back to 1 Corinthians in chapter 12. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now has God set members, every one of them in the body, as it has pleased Him. God, by saving you, He has made you a member of the body, the church of God, the church of Christ. God has made you a member, and He expects you to function. He does not expect you to sit around and say, well, you know, I'm not the eye, so I don't think I should do anything. No, 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 no. You are a member. And then by being a member, you have a responsibility. Every member has a responsibility in the church of God.
Amen.
Are you saved?
Amen.
Are you born again?
Amen.
Did God wash your sins away?
Amen.
Are you going to heaven? Do you have a certainty of that?
Amen.
You have, therefore, a responsibility in the church of God. You should not say, no, I'm not the eye, or I'm not the mouth, or I'm not the ear. No, I don't have that particular gift. You are not allowed excuses.
Amen.
God does not accept excuses. You have a responsibility, and you must fulfill that responsibility. What is that responsibility? How is it then, brethren, when you come together? You have a responsibility to come together. Look at the word of Hebrews in chapter 10. You say, well, I can't preach. Maybe God doesn't want you to preach. Maybe that's not your gift. But you still have a responsibility. In Hebrews in chapter 10 and verse 24, He says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the matter of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You see the day approaching? So much the more. So much the more. You have a responsibility to come. Do you realize by doing nothing more than coming, you are a blessing to the church? Hey, it would really be hard preaching to empty chairs here tonight. Just having a few warm bodies in front of me helps me preach. Do you realize that when people come into those doors, that excites me? That thrills me, that encourages me, and no doubt Brother Brian and Brother Steve and Brother Lindell and many other brothers, just by the mere fact that you have made a sacrifice, yes, a sacrifice to come, an effort to come, and you are diligent to come, by putting forth that effort, you can be a blessing to other members.
Amen.
Now I hope that you would not be satisfied with that, but there are people, that's all they can do. Hey, do what you can do.
Amen.
Don't make excuse. Do what you can do. By forsaking the assembling, by not meeting, you put yourself in danger of becoming a doubter. Do you realize where faith comes from? Faith comes from hearing and hearing from the Word of God.
Amen.
Do you realize that I need to be exhorted, I need to be provoked in the love and the good works because I forget? That's why my wife reminds me all the time. Got your back. She reminds me. I know because all the women have been coming up to complaining that everybody thinks my wife is perfect. She is. Somebody asked me last night, who is the head of your family? I am the head of your family. Well, how do you know that? The Bible tells me so. For no other reason, I am convinced I'm the head of my family because the Bible says the man is the head of the household. If it's good enough for God, it's good enough for me.
Amen.
You say, can you prove that? By faith. I take the promise. Listen to me tonight. You have a responsibility to come, and you put yourself in the danger of becoming a doubter by not coming. Thomas missed out on one meeting. He walked with the Lord for 3.5 years, apparently faithful. He walked with those disciples doing many things. He was a beloved brother. He was a disciple of Christ. He missed out on one meeting, and he walked into that meeting the next week. Perhaps he was working. I don't know. Perhaps he had an obligation. I don't know. I'm not condemning him in any manner. But I'm trying to show you tonight what happens when you miss out. He comes to that meeting and the brothers stand up and say, Thomas, you missed the blessing. The Lord was with us. We've seen him. He has arisen. And Thomas began to doubt his fellow brothers. Brothers that he should have had every confidence in. Brothers that there was no reason to doubt them. They were preachers of the gospel. There was no reason whatsoever to doubt their word. He knew them, but because he missed out on one meeting, he became a doubter. There's a danger by forsaking the assembly. One of the first things you need to bring to the meeting is yourself. And if that's all you can do, then bring yourself. Get in the habit of bringing yourself and allow God to work on you.
Amen.
Allow the Word of God to begin to form you, and thereby forming you, you can grow into maturity. You must bring yourself. Look back in 1 Corinthians in chapter 14. There is an order that God sets aside. Some people believe that it doesn't matter your church order, you just do anything as you please. But that's not so. I believe the Bible shows us some things that we should do in our meetings. It talks about prayer meetings in the Bible. It talks about preaching meetings in the Bible. It talks about teaching meetings in the Bible. It talks about breaking bread meetings in the Bible, Lord's Supper meeting in the Bible. There are many meetings in the Bible. And we have scriptural principles to go by, including what we call the open meeting or the body meeting. Look here in verse 40. He says, let all things be done decently and in order. We must have some type of order in our meetings. Therefore, I recommend, and I'm sure it's been recommended many times, but I'll remind you again, that when you stand up in a meeting, you should do that. You should stand up. If you're going to speak, stand up, command the attention of the people, and then begin to speak. How many times do we get so lazy we don't even want to get out of our chairs? We just want to read the word sitting down. Stand up, and when you have the floor, speak forth. This is not a Pentecostal church where everybody's praying and shouting and doing everything at the same time. It's done decently in order. What happens when two people stand up? Well, there are some priorities, I think, that you would agree with me tonight. I would say there are two people or three people or four people stood up at the same time. Those with the word, that is the Bible, should have priority over those with a hymn book. I think the Word of God is more important than hymn book. I'm not saying that a hymn book is not important. I'm saying that the Word of God should have priority over the hymn book. If one brother stands up with a hymn and another brother stands up with a Word, you should give preference to the brother with the Word. And when that brother finishes with the Word, then the brother with the hymn can stand up and give the hymn. I think, personally, that if a brother or sister stands up, the brother decides to give preference to the sister or to take the floor. I think the man has the authority. I think the same thing applies when a woman stands up and a child stands up at the same time. The adult has this priority. The adult can say, young lady or young man, you can have my place. Or the adult can say, young lady or young man, please sit down. I'm going to take my place. You have the authority. These are some practical things that you can do in your meeting to make a good open meeting. If you have a good open meeting, you'll find that people will come back. If you have a bad open meeting or you fail to function an open meeting, they'll walk out these doors thinking you're crazier than crazy. Or they'll walk out these doors and say, you know, I thought this is the place where they worship God, but they're dead and dead in here. We must function according to the Word of God. Look down in the same chapter. He says in verse 29, let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. For ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. Now, this appears to be a contradiction, doesn't it? It says the prophets two or three, and then it says all can prophesy. What's he talking about? Prophets two or three. Those that have the gift of prophesying, and those that do not have the gift of prophesying, all of us have the right to prophesy. What is prophecy? Look, if you were in the same chapter, hold your finger right there. We're going to the first few verses of chapter 14, verse 3. He that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. There's a Bible definition of prophecy. What is a prophet? That man that has the gift, he has that ability, God-given ability, to edify, to exhort, and to comfort. That is not to say another brother with another gift could not exhort, or could not comfort, or could not edify. That is not saying that in any shape or form. Every brother can prophesy, but not every brother is a prophet. Now, the Bible does say here that the prophets are allowed to speak two or three. Why? I think because the prophets are long-winded. And that God intends for all the members to function. Hey, what would happen if we had a couple prophets in a meeting that were like the Apostle Paul? Hold your finger here in Corinthians, and let's look over here in Acts in chapter 20. What type of meeting would this be if all of the prophets were like the Apostle Paul? Acts in chapter 20 and verse 7. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart from the mile, and continued his speech until midnight. And there were many lights in the upper chamber. Good thing, because I'm sure it got pretty dark around midnight. And they were all gathered together. And there sat in the window a certain young man named Eutychus, falling into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him, and embracing him, said, trouble you not yourselves, for his life is in him. And what do you think he would have learned? When he therefore was come up again, he had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till break of day, so he departed. Now, there's two ways to take this verse. Paul was either long-winded, and he didn't realize he was long-winded, or Paul had the Spirit of God and some important things, and Eutychus was not paying attention. Now, you can take it either way, but there are lessons to be learned. If you are long-winded or you speak a long time, it's a natural fact the body gets tired after a while. If you are the Apostle Paul, the fact is people are going to get tired. And so the Bible says we cannot have a Randy and a Brent and a Bill preaching in one meeting in a night. If that be the case, at the most three. We do not want Brother Lindell getting up at the same meeting because we'll not get home until next week. That's practical. Now, if Brother Randy got up first, we might not even get my chance. Thank you, Irma. I'll spend that on a candy bar here.
Hey, I've been
amening. Well, we'll get Irma here in a minute. We'll think. You understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
Another reason, God does not intend for one member to function or one particular type of member to function continuously. He wants all of the members to function.
Amen.
God is able to give a message. Now, wouldn't it be better, brothers? Seriously. Let's just have a good time tonight. The plows are already put up. It's already parked. Let's just have a good time. Let's consider some things tonight. Wouldn't it be better to receive a message? I mean, we can receive a message in two ways in a meeting. We can receive a message. One brother gives seven verses and gives us a tremendous message, and we could all go home. Or we can have that same message brought by seven different brothers.
Amen.
I'll tell you what. Both messages can be a blessing. But in an open meeting, when it comes from seven different brothers, it's a tremendous blessing.
Amen.
Because we see the church functioning.
Amen.
And you'll notice that in this chapter, he says two or three with a gift of tongues, two or three with prophets may speak. God does not want a repetition of those that have the same gift. You understand what I'm saying here? Things must be done in order. When you come to the meeting, you must bring your body and you must bring an order. You must come prepared to submit yourselves one to another. You must become prepared to submit yourself under the Spirit of God. You must be prepared to follow the order that God has laid down in the Scriptures. It is not for you to decide how things should be done. You must submit yourself to God and His Word. There's another thing that you should bring to the meeting. You should bring the Word. Look in Colossians in chapter 3. Do you know when the Wednesday night meeting begins? How many know? When does the Wednesday night, when? 7:30 Wednesday? Exactly. The Wednesday night meeting, Eddie was giving us the exact time that it begins physically. Bill being crafty, Bill knowing what I'm going to say, says Monday, exactly. Actually, it begins Sunday night after the last meeting, Sunday night. You begin preparing yourself for that meeting on Wednesday. And how can we prepare ourselves for the meeting? Look in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16.
Amen.
He says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts, O Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. You begin preparing for the open meeting by letting the word of God dwell in you richly.
Amen.
You know, I come to meetings and I go to meetings and I can tell who's been reading the Bible and who hasn't. Because if you have filled yourself with the Word of God, if you have been diligent, if you've been faithful, if you've been revived during the week, filling yourself, feasting on the Word of God, it is only natural when you come to the meeting and have opportunity to express that Word that you're going to do it.
Yeah.
Out of abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh.
Amen.
And if the heart has been filled with the Word of God, it is going to speak the Word of God. And if the heart has been filled with this world, then it's going to come in with the doldrums. It's going to come in defeated. It's going to come in down. And I realize all of us have that those days. Every one of us. Up to Brother Kincaid, Brother Brian, Brother Steve, the elders, the pastors, the preachers here. All of us have our days when we come down. But that's the purpose of the meeting. Sometimes my arm is sore because I've been working. Sometimes my legs are sore because I've been running. My body, certain members of my body are sore and they just don't want to get, they just can't give forth the effort anymore. That's why the other members take over to provoke unto love and to good works and to exhort and to comfort and to supply those needs. But how many times do we come to the, I know what you're saying, how many times do we come to the meeting when the whole body's sore? I realize that can happen in a great while, but it should not be a common practice. If you would aim for these things, if every one of us would be diligent, we would cover ourselves on bad nights. If we'd be diligent to fill ourselves with the Word of God, then on a Sunday night or a Wednesday night or when the Lord gave opportunity to express the Word, we'd be diligent to give the Word. Look in Proverbs in chapter 25, a thought on this. Give the Word. Verse 11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. Now, if you ask me to interpret this verse and explain to you what are apples of gold and pictures of silver, I have no idea, but I know that it's good. Huh? Is that right? You know whatever he's saying is good. Whatever he's talking about, it's something good. Hey, people have asked me, what about the open meeting when it's functioning? I can't really explain it, but I know it's good.
Amen.
And like one of the disciples said to his brother, come and see. Come and see. Why don't you come over and see? Because a word fitly spoken is something good.
Amen.
Sometimes you eat something, you can't really explain how good it is, but you just know it's good. You don't have the adjectives or the adverbs to try to explain the eating of that particular meal, but you know it's good. And what are you going to say? Hey, try some. Hey, take a bite of this. This is really good. A word fitly spoken. Come with the word of God. Do not come with the television or the newspaper or stories about your grandmother. Come. We don't want to hear about your grandmother. We hope she's all right, but we'd prefer hearing the word of God. Come with the word of God. Another thing that you should bring to the meeting, you should bring life. Do not bring dead corpses in here. Okay? Leave the corpses hung on the cross, all right? Bring life. Look, you will, in Exodus in chapter 16. Exodus chapter 16, verse 14. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lie a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna. For why? For they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord had given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord had commanded. Gather every man according to his eating, and Omer, for every man according to the number of your persons, take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more and some less. In other words, some people can read a whole lot of the Bible, and some people can read a little. But everybody take according to their eating. And when they did meet it, and Omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. And they gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, let no man leave it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them. What happened? They did not bring life. They brought death. They did not bring something fresh. You should go to the Word of God daily. We have a brother in some of our meetings. He preaches the exact same message every time. The first time it was good. The second time we suffered it. And the third time we said, no more weenies and sauerkraut. What I'm saying is, we should go daily to the Word of God and get something fresh and bring it to the meetings. Look at Ecclesiastes in chapter 9. I have not been long-winded, believe me. Nobody said amen on that one either. Huh? Just remember, I have the horses hitched up. We can bring the plow out here still. So be careful, be careful. Ecclesiastes in chapter 9 and verse 4. For him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. Amen. For the living know not that they shall die. The living know that they shall die. But the dead know not anything. Neither have they any more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Now notice something. A living dog is better than a dead lion. Isn't that true?
Amen.
How would you like to have a dead lion laying in your living room? The worms crawling out of it and the stench. Hey, that stuff stinks. How many times have you been driving down the highway and somebody ran over a dog or a cow and it's been laying there for a few days? The vultures are picking on it. The cow's gotten real big. You know, they puff up and then they go boom. And when you get there right after they go boom, you're talking about a real stench. God is saying it is better that you have a living dog than a dead lion. Something that has life. Oh, some of these brothers, I mean, they've got their message, they got their T's crossed, and they got these beautiful messages, but they are dead, 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 dead. I mean, they got it typed out on a laser printer. I'm telling you, they got their message off. They got it all calculated out. They have a computer checking all their verses, and they come in, they have a royal message. I'm telling you, they've got one message, but there's no life in it. Huh? And you know what my Bible says? They know nothing. They presume they know a lot of things. They presume they have really got a message here, but they don't know. Everybody else does because they're all kind of sitting there, you know. Wish his brother would hurry up, you know. What's going on? What am I saying? God says that we should come with life.
Amen.
I know you get tired under the job. I know things are hard in the home. I know you're occupied, but come to the meetings with life. Hello. Come to the meetings with life.
Amen.
This is a lot of work. Good thing I brought my pump. I'm going to get me one of them electric ones next time. Look down in chapter 10 and verse 1. Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. We don't want dead flies either. We don't want dead lions and we don't want dead flies. We'd rather have a bunch of living dogs.
Amen.
Huh? Give us life! Give us life!
Amen.
Bring the Spirit of God, the same book. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Here's some practical advice. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God. And be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. Doesn't this apply? For they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth. And let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven and thou upon the earth. Wherefore let thy words be few.
Amen.
For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by a multitude of words. Do you know what? It is always better to be brief. We say, kiss it. Keep it simple, sweetie. Thank you, Jesse. Yeah. Keep it simple, sweetie. Keep it brief. Let thy words be few. Be not rash. Now, some of you need to speak a few words. You have to learn to take the scriptures and where they apply to you. Some of you have never spoken a word. You need to speak a few words. Your problem is not speaking too much. Your problem is you never speak. You never share. You never stand up and give a blessing. You never call a hymn. You never read a verse. Do you realize you can stand up and read a verse?
Amen.
You don't have to expound on a verse, but by the mere fact that you stand up and read a verse, that's a blessing. Do you realize that you can... I already know. Every one of you can say, amen.
Amen.
Huh? Every one of you can say, praise ye the Lord.
Praise
every one of you can say, he is worthy.
He is worthy.
Every one of you can raise your hands and say, hallelujah, brother.
Hallelujah.
Now that you can do. I proved that last night. Every one of you. Now Mike wasn't here. Brother, let me see your hands up here. Everybody, there he goes. Okay. Now I know everybody can do that. You say, well, you know, I don't read that well, alright? You know, I can't see. Buy a bigger Bible. Get your eyes checked. Get some glasses. Huh? You can be a functioning member.
Amen.
Do not be like that fella that went golfing one day. Told his wife he was going to be right home for supper, and he was late. And he got home late, and his wife said, where were you? Oh, honey, you just wouldn't believe what happened to me. I have a perfectly good excuse. We was out on the first hole, and Fred just keeled over and had a heart attack. Oh, what a tragedy. Yeah, it's a tragedy. It was hit the ball, drag Fred. Hit the ball, drag Fred. Don't you be a Fred where we got to drag you around all the time. Huh? Be a living member, a functioning member. Hey, it starts off with coming. You break the ice, you break that obstacle, you're coming. Then you get up the nerve. I know you're shaking your boots, you're sitting there, oh man, I'm going to say amen. I'm just thinking about it. You're just waiting for the opportunity. And you say, amen. Hey, you break the ice. Amen!
Amen!
Praise the Lord! You break the ice and you go on from there. Then you get up your nerves. All right, I'm going to do it. This Wednesday night, I'm going to read me a verse. This Wednesday night, I'm going to do it. And you break the ice. And it gets easier and easier. And pretty soon, Brother Kincaid and Brother Brian are coming by. Saying, now, brother, let thy words be few. Everybody has their place. Bring life to the meeting.
Amen.
Bring the Spirit of God to the meeting. Look in Ephesians in chapter 5. Hey, we can have fun in church, can't we?
Amen. Praise the Lord.
5:18. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit.
Amen.
Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Be filled with the Spirit of God. Be filled with the Spirit and not with wine. Do not fill yourselves up with the wine of this world. You know what a drunkard does? You know what a drunkard does? First of all, he's always babbling. Nobody understands what he's saying, but he's always got something to say. Doesn't have any meaning to what he's saying, but he's always talking. Isn't that right?
Amen.
A drunkard always talks about himself. Did you ever notice that? I'm the biggest, I'm the baddest, I'm the meanest, I'm this, I'm that, or my wife, you know, does that, and my children does that. He's always talking about him and his problems, right? Hey, that comes from the wine of this world. If you're filled with the Spirit of God, you're not going to be talking about yourself. You're going to be talking about Jesus.
Amen.
There's nothing like a drunkard to ruin a good message. You'd be out there preaching, and here comes a drunkard.
No, brother, you know, amen, brother. I'm glad to see you.
It just destroys the whole thing. I mean, it's really hard to preach when you got this old drunk hanging on you. You know why they always want to hang on you? Because they didn't hang on something, they're going to fall over. They just got to grab you. You think they're real loving? No, they're just looking for something stable in her life. Look, when you come to the meeting, do not come as a drunkard. Do not come filled with the wine of this world. Come filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. And my Bible says the Spirit of God glorifies Jesus Christ always.
Amen.
How many times is an open meeting? We'd have a good meeting going. I'm telling you, it's just a firecracker of a meeting. I mean, the Spirit of God's moving, and here stands up this drunkard, spiritually speaking. He stands up this drunkard, and he begins talking about himself. And you can just hear the wind going, and the meeting's just dead. It's just dead. And if the elders don't get up quickly, it's going to die. If something's not done, the meeting's just going to end right there. Huh? Do not come to the meeting as a drunkard. Come to the meeting filled with the Spirit of God. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. These are some practical things that we can do. Follow the spirit of the meeting. Hey, if this brother over here stands up and says, faith is a wonderful thing. It gives you three or four verses on faith. Or just one verse on faith. And this brother over here, he stands up, yes, faith is. I have a verse here also. And he gives a verse on faith. And this sister stands up, amen, brother. I'm glad we're in the spirit tonight. Faith is a wonderful thing. And this brother stands up and says, hell is a terrible thing. Hey, it has nothing to do. You weren't walking the spirit. That is not to say that a particular meeting could not have three different messages. That is not to say to exclude the possibility of God the Holy Spirit talking about faith for a moment, then about hell for a moment, or some other subject for a moment. I'm not excluding that. But you mark it down, 9 times out of 10, it doesn't go that way. And if you're the one to change the flow of the meeting, you better make sure you're in the Spirit of God.
Amen.
If you're going to change the subject matter of the meeting, or the spirit of the meeting, be very careful. Now, you have to be careful. You have to walk in the Spirit. Do not conclude that because you have a verse on that particular subject, that the manner in which you give it is also of the Spirit. I remember one time we had a meeting that was going in here. I think it was a Thanksgiving meeting. And one brother stood up and he talked about idols. And he said, God had delivered him from idols. And another brother stood up and said, yes, that's true. God has delivered me from idols. Look at this verse. And another brother and sister stood up. I mean, it was just a goal. And I'm telling you, all these brothers were standing up thanking God that God had delivered them from idols. Another brother stood up and he talked about idols. But he began to rant and rave and rebuke and just give everybody a hard time because they had idols. It just killed the meeting. He had the right subject matter, but the wrong spirit. You understand what I'm saying? Have you seen these things practically speaking in your meetings? It is your responsibility to work so that you have a meeting that flows in the Spirit, that goes in the Spirit of God. There's some things you can do. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16, one of the things you can do to keep a meeting going is rejoice evermore.
Amen.
Do not come to the meeting depressed. Or come to the meeting expectantly get blessed.
Amen.
Hey, I've come to meetings down. I've been, for whatever reason, the devil's got me down, the flesh has got me down, I'm depressed. And all of a sudden I hear some verses and that just pumps me back up again.
Amen.
Rejoice evermore. And rejoicing is a matter of the will. You decide whether you're going to be happy or not.
Amen.
You make up your mind, I'm going to be happy. By the grace of God, I'm going to be happy.
Amen.
The only reason we ever get sad is because we take our eyes off the Lord. The only reason we ever get sad is we look on the wave instead of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord never changes. His blessings never cease. He's faithful to complete His promises. And that which He began in us, He's going to fulfill it. He is the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. We should rejoice evermore. Pray is another thing that we can do. Pray, it says, without ceasing. Do you realize, brothers, there's some things you can do to keep a meeting going? You can pray. A brother stands up and he's starting to, you can feel it. You can just know that he's going off. Are you praying? Lord, get it back in line. Lord, give Brother Brian the confidence to stand up and put this thing down. Lord, are you praying? Are you praying for the meeting? Maybe you have a visitor there tonight. Maybe you have a friend that you invited that's not saved. Lord, have somebody bring a message that would touch his heart. Are you praying without ceasing? You realize, are you understand what I'm saying about an open meeting? Open meeting is work, brothers. I know you think, well, it's air conditioned here. You know, it's not exactly padded pews, but some people come to church to catch up on their sleep. You come to an open meeting, be prepared to work. Be prepared. You have to be constantly watching, praying, ready to give an amen, ready to say praise the Lord, ready to say thou art worthy, ready to say hallelujah, ready to raise your hands. I find myself many times lazy. I haven't come with a proper mindset, prepared to do my part to function. I want to be carried. Huh? I want somebody else to carry my load. I want somebody else to say the amen. I want somebody else to say praise the Lord. I want somebody else to rejoice. I want somebody else to pray. I want somebody else to share. I want somebody else to read the word. It's a whole lot easier if they do it. But it's our responsibility. It's your responsibility. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. Even for bad meetings. Praise the Lord Jesus. Next time, we're going to have a better meeting. Hey, you have a bad meeting? Right after the meeting, go home and pray. God, don't let that happen again. Huh? If you have a bad meeting, you have to take responsibility. Why was it bad? Perhaps you didn't give what you were supposed to do. Quench not the Spirit. Now, there's two ways to quench the Spirit. I've already mentioned one. You can get out of the flow of the Spirit. The Spirit is dealing with a certain subject in a certain manner or a certain attitude, and you change that. That's quenching the Spirit, right? Another way is quenching the Spirit. The Spirit in you says, stand up and give something. Oh, no, 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 no. Why don't you say amen right now? No, they think I'm, you know, Pentecostal or something. I don't know what they're going to think, but I don't think I'll. That's quenching the Spirit also. You, God has blessed you and saved you and given you tremendous blessings, and God has blessed you during the week, and you know it's a blessing. And He put it upon your heart to share that blessing, but you refuse. You're quenching the Spirit. Do not quench the Spirit of God. These are practical things, brothers. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is true. Now, you know why some churches do not have open meetings? They're afraid of error. They're afraid of heresies. They want to control everything. But you know what? God has allowed even heresies to be part of His church.
Right.
Hold your finger right there. I want to show you something. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 18. For first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. God allows cancers to come into the life so the antibiotics can come into work. And that antibiotic comes in the form of Lyndall Kincaid. Comes in the form of Steve Dalrouse. Comes in the form of Brian Teeble, or comes in a form that you don't even realize. God allows error coming to the church so you can know who your pastors are, who your elders are, who has true doctrine and who has false doctrine. Why? Because when an error is brought up, that brother that God is leading, that brother that God has touched, is going to stand up and say, I'm sorry, that is wrong. That is not a mistake, that is an error. That is not a mistake, that is a lie. Now, there's a difference between a young brother, a young child, standing up and saying something in error. He makes a mistake. You realize it came from a child, everybody realizes it came from a child, and nobody shook up. But when an adult stands up and says something, says the exact same words, you know that that's heresy, or you know that that's a lie, and that's wrong, and it has to be dealt with. You know the difference between an adult and a child. You mark it down, brothers. If you're a young Christian, nobody's going to give you a hard time for making a mistake. Everybody makes a mistake. I make mistakes. Lyndall makes mistakes. Hey, they're on tape. You can just look them up. Plenty of times. Huh? You can look it up. Every one of us, the best preacher in the world, is going to make mistakes. We're going to make mistakes. It happens. But some people make mistakes intentionally. They're there to cause division, and they have to be dealt with, and God allows that so you know who your pastors are, so you know who your elders are, so you know who has good doctrine and who doesn't have. That's why it says, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. You should not be a simpleton. You should not believe everything you hear. Some of you, if I told you that the moon was made of cheese, you'd say, hey, would you give me a piece? You should not be like that. You should not believe everything. My Bible says you're supposed to put to the test all things. Prove it with the Word of God. Don't reject everything. Prove all things. That which is true, hold it. Keep it. Hold fast that which is true. Abstain from all appearance of evil. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless on the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how is He going to preserve it blameless? By the continually washing of one another's feet. Jesus said in John in chapter 13 that He taught us something. He gave us an example, and one of those examples was to wash one another's feet. How are we going to wash one another's feet? Take a bucket and wash? Yeah, I suppose you could do that, but I don't think He's talking about that.
I think he's about talking about taking the Word of God, coming to a meeting, and with that Word, sharing it. Speaking the Word of God, and that Word begins to cleanse. He says that in John in chapter 15 and verse 3, that we are clean through His Word. Brothers, if you come to the meeting with the Word of God, you can wash each other's feet. And we will be remain blameless. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen.
Amen.
I think we had a good night tonight.
Amen.
I hope I helped you tonight with some practical things on the open meeting. This revival meeting has just flown by, hasn't it?
Amen.
Time just flies by when you're having a good time, doesn't it? Next week, you're going to have some meetings. Next week is when we're going to find out the fruits of this meeting. Next month, we're going to find out. In the next few months, in the next year, we're going to find out. Apply the things you learn. When you come to the meeting, come, first of all. Come to the meeting. Come with the Word of God. Come prepared in the Spirit of God. Come come to give. Come to share. You come with something. Do not come empty. Come filled with the Spirit of God.
Amen.
And I'm sure God would bless you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you tonight for an opportunity to open your Word. I pray that you'd bless every soul here tonight. Bless every brother, every sister. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Good night.
Good night.